Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be talking about the fire of the Lord. And just to review, the fire of the Lord was spoken of by John the Baptist in Matthew 3:11, when he talked about Jesus was going to be coming after him, and John was the forerunner, you know, of Jesus Christ. And John said that, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so John spoke of this coming baptism. He spoke of this immersion in the fire and this immersion by the Holy Spirit that was going to be coming. And of course, Jesus was to usher that in. The disciples that followed him didn't know exactly how it was going to come, how it was going to manifest, but they were waiting, they were patient. They went to Jerusalem just as Jesus instructed them to, and they waited for the baptism to come about. They waited for that baptism of fire, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the second chapter of Acts, then, we see it all come about. We see it manifest and come forth. And in verse 3, it says, "It appeared to them as divided tongues, as of fire, and each one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so they spoke with other tongues. They were immersed. They were totally filled with the Holy Spirit because they were obedient to the Lord to stay in Jerusalem. They were obedient to him and to receive that for which the Father had promised. That is the infilling or the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the total immersion that came with that baptism of fire, that total immersion that covered every part of them, that filled them. And so that is God's will for us today, is that we also be filled, that we be covered, that we be totally immersed with the Holy Spirit, just as they were in that time at Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. And so what does the Holy Spirit immersion, what does the Holy Spirit baptism of fire do for us that we can look to the early church, that we can look to the early disciples and see in their life so that we will know what the Holy Spirit fire, what that total immersion of the Holy Spirit and fire does for us, what it can do for us in our life that would make us desire to seek it, that would make us desire to abide with it, that would make us desire to share it when we have already received it, and to share it with others, that others could know that joy, that others could know that freedom, that others could know that fire that only comes from the total immersion of the Holy Spirit. Well, first of all, I want to talk about that the Holy Spirit fire, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, it opens us up to the prophetic. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul admonishes the Corinthians. He says, "Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, even that you would prophesy." And so Paul goes on to explain the importance of prophecy, not only for individual believers to encourage them, to strengthen them, to build them up, and to console them for edification, exhortation, and consolation, but also how prophecy can be a benefit and how it can be a blessing for those in the church. And so those of us who have the Holy Spirit immersion, that Holy Spirit fire, it opens us up to the prophetic. And why is the prophetic so important? Because the prophetic allows you not only to encourage and to strengthen other people, but it also allows you as an individual believer to see into the future, to be able to see what is yet to come, and to be able to react accordingly with wisdom, with strategies against the enemy. And so just as we can discern our present experience as a believer in Christ, so can we too know the future, because this is God's will that he would share his secrets with the prophets. Amos 3:7 says that the Lord does nothing without first letting his servants, the prophets, know, or in other words, the prophets are given insight into the future so that they can warn the body of Christ or encourage the body of Christ in a certain way, or that they can speak to the body of Christ to bring edification, exhortation, and consolation. And so when it opens us up to the prophetic, it opens up a whole new dimension in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Well, Peter, after that Holy Spirit of fire was poured out on him, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples started to speak in tongues, and they started to speak the message of the gospel to people of many nations who were gathered there in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. They started to speak the gospel to them, and all of those people were hearing their own language. They were hearing the gospel message being spoken to them in their own native language. And so they knew that there was something strange because all of these different people were hearing in their own language, and they accused the disciples of being drunk because they heard these people speaking in tongues. They heard this babbling and this speaking in tongues, and so they accused the disciples of being drunk. And so Peter gets up, and because he knew the Old Testament scripture, because he knew the scripture that the prophet Joel had spoken about what was coming in the future in regards to the Spirit being poured out, Peter was able to correctly discern that this was the time when the Spirit had been poured out. And so he said in Acts 2:17, what he did was he quoted or he recited that scripture from Joel 2:28 when Joel prophesied about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And it shall come to pass in those last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my maidservants and my men servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy, I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. In verse 21 in Acts 2, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Peter was able to discern that what Joel had prophesied hundreds of years before, that the Spirit was going to be poured out on all flesh, on all mankind, and then it would release the prophetic, not only in the people that heard it would release it in the men servants and the maid servants, even the lowly, those with no standing, those no reputation or no economic standing. And so there was going to be a release of the prophetic, a release of dreams, a release of visions. And all of those signs and wonders were a sign that the Spirit of God was being released to prepare people for the second coming and prepare people for the last days of the church here on this earth. And so Peter was correctly discerning that the Spirit had been poured out, and he said, brethren, these people aren't drunk, they're not inebriated, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, and what has happened is this is a fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophet Joel. And so Peter explained that to the people who were standing around there, and then in order to show that the prophetic had been poured out, Peter then and some of the other disciples began to minister in ways that they had never ministered before. They began to minister with power. They began to minister with conviction and with boldness. And Peter himself became a fireball evangelist. And so Peter gets up and he starts to preach to the Jews there. He starts to preach and admonish them and exhort them. And so he gave the first evangelistic gospel message. Peter became that fireball evangelist. Instead of being a timid and a cowardly Peter who was denying Jesus and running from any confrontation, he became a fireball Peter, and he stood up and he preached a gospel message that 3,000 people responded to and were baptized that first day. He said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2:40, it says that many other words he testified, and he exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation," and 3,000 souls were added that day. And then in verse 43, it says, this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which led to Peter getting up and preaching this powerful gospel message, and this formerly cowardly disciple now saying, "This is what's happening, and here's the way we're going to go forward. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ." And in verse 43, it says, "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily all those who were being saved. And so it says that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And so Peter became a fireball evangelist. That's the second thing that God wants to see happen in you, is that when you receive the baptism of fire, when you receive that full immersion of fire and the Holy Spirit immerses you, that you will start to share the gospel, that you will become a witness with a sense of urgency, that the gospel must be preached, that the gospel must be shared with every single person on the face of the earth. And God will open the doors. You don't have to worry about where you're going to go speak the message. You don't have to concern yourself with that. God will open the doors for you, and he will show you where he wants you to go. He will show you the places that he wants you to go. When God opened up the door for me to go to Africa, he gave me a powerful dream that I can still remember. Just as if it was yesterday, he showed me that he wanted me to go to Africa. He was pointing out the people that he wanted me to preach to, and he had me on a platform, and I was holding a Bible in one hand and a sack in the other hand, in my left hand a sack, and on the front of the sack it said Revelation 22, and in that bag was ear corn, 12 inches long, big ears of corn, and behind me was a big grain bin, filled to the top, a big slat bin for ear corn, filled to the top. And God was showing me he was going to be my provision. He was showing me he was going to put that provision in my bag day by day, month by month, trip by trip. He was going to provide for me everything that I needed. And all I had to do was trust him and speak the word, the message of the gospel, Revelation 22, the new heaven and the new earth, and let people know, get ready. Let people know that there was no time to waste in coming to the Lord, that any day Jesus could return, that any day it could be your last day here on this earth. And God's will is that you come to know him. If you don't know him today, let this message go forth into your heart today. If you don't know him and have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let the Holy Spirit convict you today. And may you turn to him, may you seek him and cry out to him. Get down on your knees and say, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want to become one of your children." And as you do that, Jesus will be faithful and true to save you. It says in verse 41, "And the Lord added to the church daily all those who were being saved." And so that is true for you, that he will add you to the church this day, all those who are being saved. Well, the third thing that comes about when we receive that baptism of fire, that full immersion of fire of the Lord, is that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow you, and you will be able to see with your very own eyes the power of God working in your life and the power of God working in the lives of others. Back again to verse 43 in Acts 2, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And so God uses signs, wonders, and miracles to display to the doubting world, to display to skeptics, to display to those who are unbelievers and uninterested. He uses signs, wonders, and miracles to show his power, to let people know that he is the God of all creation, to let people know that he is a powerful God, and there is no other like him. And so in Acts 3:6, Peter then is speaking to the man in the temple who was lame from birth, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have," for this man was trying to collect alms. He was begging for alms, and Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And then Peter took the man by the hand, by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And in verse 8, "So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." And so when God grants a miracle, when God grants a healing, it is to bring glory and honor to God. It is to show the people of that man's family, that man's village, that man's territory, what a powerful God we have, and how able this God is to heal, how able this God is to do the miraculous, and that he is a supernatural God. Over the many years that I have been privileged to serve the Lord in places like Africa, several countries in Africa, several countries in Central America, Mexico, I can tell you for sure that the power of God to heal and the power of God to do miraculous and the supernatural is authentic, it's real. You will see it with your very own eyes if you step out and really serve the Lord. You will see with your very own eyes the power that God has. I'm sure many of you have seen it in your own life, how God has healed you of different things or healed your loved ones. And so I say to you today, step out and pray for people. Believe for the miraculous. Believe for the supernatural. Believe that God is able. And if you never ask him, you have not because you ask not. And so you need to ask him even here in America, even more so here in America, because we have the big medical establishment here that everybody relies on. But I want you to know that God is able, even here in America, to heal. He is able to do the miraculous. I can tell you just a couple of quick stories of things that I saw on this last trip to Africa. We were out on the coast of Kenya, and I was preaching in a house fellowship one day out there with about 40 people, and they brought this man to the house fellowship and sat him on the front row, and I could tell he couldn't see me. There was something wrong with his eyesight because of the way he was looking around, and he wasn't focusing on me. And so I asked, at the end of the message, I asked them to bring him up, and they willingly did. That's why they brought him to the meeting in the first place. They willingly brought him up, and I laid hands on him and prayed for him, and it turned out that he had a brain tumor that was causing him great pain in his head, in his brain, and also that tumor was causing his eyesight to fade, and eventually his eyesight was gone. And so we prayed for his eyesight. We prayed for God to shrink that tumor. The very next day, we got a call from the people who were with him, his caretakers, and they said, "The brother is seeing lights and images, and the pain in his head, the swelling in his head, has gone down, and God granted him a tremendous miracle." I haven't been privileged to know what has happened to him since then, a follow-up. I don't know if he's seeing completely or what, but I know that God gave him a great healing that day, and God opened up the door for him to be a witness and a testimony to the power of Almighty God. And another story, a lady came and asked us to pray for her, and I laid hands on her and prayed for her. She had not slept at night for over a year. Her sleep had been interrupted by demonic oppression and demonic possession, and she was unable to get a night's sleep, tormented all through the night and working during the day, and so she was slowly going mad because she wasn't getting any good rest. And I laid hands on her and prayed for her. And the next day or so, we got a call from her as well, and she slept well that night. She slept well. She was resting peacefully, and she was giving God the praise, giving the Lord to praise because she had been set free from these tormenting demons that were keeping up at night and slowly causing her to go mad. And so she was also a witness and a testimony to those around her of the power of the living God. Well, the fourth thing that the Holy Spirit baptism of fire gives us is it gives us a boldness to step out and speak the truth of the gospel to those who need to hear it. When Peter was speaking to the elders and the scribes and the rulers of Israel in Jerusalem in Acts 4:8, it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And so Peter took on a boldness. I've already spoken about that. He took on a boldness that he did not have before, and all of the other apostles did too. They became bold in their witness. They became bold in their evangelism, in their teaching. And so God wants to do that with you, beloved. He wants you to become bold. He wants you to step out of your comfort zone. He wants you to speak to your neighbor, maybe the co-worker who you are beside each and every day. Maybe they don't even know you're a Christian. Maybe they don't even know that you love Jesus. God wants you to get a holy boldness about you and speak the message of truth to people in a lost and dying world. And Peter in Acts 4:29 says, Now, Lord, look on their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so that is God's will for your life, that we no longer be silent Christians, that we no longer be captured by fear and timidity. When God tells you to go speak to someone, God is serious about sending you there. When God opens up the door for you to go and speak with boldness the message of the gospel, God wants you to go there, and he wants you to speak with boldness and to have conviction that the words that you speak are going to bring changes in someone's life. It's not your power. It's not your power. It's not for you to take glory away from God by claiming the power. If you are just a humble servant and you go where God sends you to go, he will give you the power, he will give you the strength, and he will have you to witness, and it will bring glory and honor to him. Finally, the Holy Spirit and fire baptism will take you places where you don't even desire to go. And that's the paradox of the Christian walk when you really start to serve the Lord, is you will be called to go and you will be taken to places where in your natural mind and your natural flesh you would have no desire to go there. In fact, you might even want to go the other direction, just as Jonah did. You may never even want to set foot in that place, and yet God will take you places where you have no desire to go. And Peter was taken to the Gentiles after he had preached to the Jews there at Jerusalem. He was taken to the Gentiles and ministered to the family of Cornelius. In Acts 10, verse 43, Peter is talking to the family of Cornelius, and he said, To Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in Jesus will receive remission of sins. And Peter was still speaking these words. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that those should not be baptized who have just received the Holy Spirit as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay on a few days. And so Peter was taken to people that he previously had thought he should never talk to, communicate with, or share bread or anything else. The Gentiles were off limits to him, and God showed him in a dream, in a vision, to go to them, and Peter was obedient. He went to the Gentiles, he spoke the message that God gave him to speak with boldness, with conviction, and even the Gentiles came to know the Lord Jesus, and Peter was amazed that God had used him to take the message of the gospel to a place and to a people where he had no desire to go. And that is God's will for your life, brethren. That is God's will for you, that you receive that baptism of fire, that you step up and go to a place, maybe just down the street, maybe across town. I don't know where it is, but God wants you to go somewhere and speak the message with boldness, the message that Jesus saves with boldness. We need it now in the history of the United States. We need it now more than ever before. And so if you will do that, you'll be obedient to the Lord. Well, I thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. We need to hear from you. We'd like to hear from you. Write a letter. Sit down, write a letter, make a donation check, and we praise your name, Lord, for bringing people to this ministry and to your holy name. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.